I don't know. You know, there are hard things about college. I'm actually enjoying the amount of work there is. I'm the kind of person that likes a challenge, but I think that socially, you know, trying to get settled, it's pretty difficult in the first 2 months. But yeah, overall, I'm really happy. I think I'm going to stay here.
Awesome. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty happy too.
I mean, the yurt's pretty cool. Like,
yeah, the yurt's pretty sweet.
Some pretty sweet stuff here. The Frisbee team's pretty lit.
Agreed. Gonna get on that next semester for sure. So, in your time here, you've created a lot of new connections with a bunch of new people, which I've found really interesting. And in my own life here, and I think that. I think that it's been super interesting to form a bunch of connections super quickly with a bunch of people who I've never met before, because it's like I spend a lot of time with them, but the depth of that time is over a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. So it's like super high density connection, but not super... It doesn't have the breadth of a relationship formed over like multiple years, even if you spend like the equal amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about this last night. I went on a walk with Jasper to the reservoir, and we were talking about making relationships and stuff like that. And I was just discussing the fact that my high school best friend I didn't meet until like a year and a half into school, and so. You know, sometimes making friends takes a long time. We've only been in school for 2 months at this point, which seems kind of crazy. 2 months is not as long as it feels. But despite that, you're right, like, there hasn't been enough time to really meet and, like, create super deep friendships. So, yeah, I totally agree. But I think it's going to happen. Like, there's no need to stress about it or anything like that.
Yeah, and actually, we're going to take... a quick song break here due to some technical difficulties. Here is Genesis by Richard Hooten. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, sorry about that delay. We should be back up and running now. Can you just talk through your mic, Daniel?
Yeah, I'm just talking through the mic. Can you guys hear me?
Talk some more.
I'm going to talk about, I could do a math problem. I could recite poetry, maybe. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. That's all I know. Let's see. Do I know any poems?
What about the Raven?
I don't know the Raven. I could do some Kanye poetry.
We can weary over many quaint, curious volumes of forgotten lore. As I pondered, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping on my chamber door.
Door.
"Tis some visitor," I muttered, "rapping on my chamber door.
Door.
This it is, and nothing more." All right, that's enough of that. Now that we have the microphones working again. Which is pretty sweet.
I want to give a shout out to my mom, just quickly.
Shout out to Daniel's mom.
Actually, shout out to all moms.
Shout out to moms.
Shout out to my mom.
Shout out to Lewis's mom.
Shout out to Warren. Shout out to Mountain's mom.
And my mom's pretty cool. Yeah. So let's see, where were we? Nowhere. Since no one could hear Daniel talking the whole time. But alas, I guess. So, where we were, but you couldn't hear, was we were discussing the relationships that we've made here at college and how the amount of time you spend with people over a short amount of time is a really interesting way to get to know somebody. What do you think about how that those relationships that you formed here compare to relationships that you formed out of college, like in your high school, throughout your high school experience?
Yeah, well, I've got kind of two lives that I've lived already. I'm in my third, so like the first was high school or like grade school, and then I was outside of school for 2 years, and now I'm in college, and so it differs quite a bit. Like, I think college is way different from high school because in high school I'd known all those people for a long time. I'd known them since they were, you know, little kids. And we were all kind of already locked up into our own social constructs before we even knew what a social construct was. And now kind of coming back at it as a bunch of 18 and 19, 20-year-olds, I think we've got a lot more perception as to what's going on and, like, knowledge about who we are. So kind of coming back at it with that added knowledge, like it makes it a much more pleasant experience to get to know people, you know, with a little bit more knowledge of yourself. And then outside of school, making relationships is really, really hard. You know, like the orientation week, the number of people I met was more probably than the number of people I met in like 2 years. Maybe that's not true, but like felt that way.
St. Croix Falls, the town I live in and have lived in for the last 10 years, is super duper tiny. And so over like the first 4 years of living there, I met all the people I know now there. And I haven't really met anyone. Everyone I meet who's new stands out. Like I met Dan, a kid named Dan, who started coming to the coffee shop I work at for a week before he was deployed. He came every day, and I got very close to Dan, and then he left. So that was kind of an interesting thing, to meet somebody new. But then a few weeks later, came to college, met like 200 new people or more.
Or more, yeah. How many people? There's like 400 plus in our class. First class, yeah.
It's pretty big. I bet the classes have diminishing size as they go
Definitely,
forward.
Definitely.
I wonder what the retention rate after the first semester is.
It's like 70%. Or like, yeah, it's pretty low.
I think a lot of people don't know what they're coming into when they come to Hampshire at first.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't think it was going to be this rigorous.
You ended up in some pretty rigorous classes. My education has not been as rigorous as yours is proving to be, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want me to go over the homework that I'm doing tonight? We don't have to.
We don't have to. It might take 10 hours.
Yeah.
And you won't be able to get it done.
I just sit here and do homework right now. It'd be an interesting show, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Lickety clacks.
So, I think an interesting thing that you brought up the other day that Walker especially is very interested in talking about.
Yeah.
So you hold the belief that if two individuals go out to eat together as just by themselves, two people, it is inherently romantic because of the activity.
No, I don't think it's inherently romantic because of the activity. I think it's inherently romantic because of who we are as humans. I think that we're constantly thinking of sex, like, all the time.
What do you think about Freud?
I think Freud was right in a lot of ways. I mean, I haven't read any of his work, but what I've heard of his work about, you know, the way that people look at their parents or the dreams that they have, all of those things I agree with.
So you want to kill your dad?
Sometimes. sometimes.
We'll leave the Freudian thoughts at killing dad.
Yeah, the Freudian thoughts are going to get me in trouble.
Freud was interesting, for sure. So you think that...
But okay, so I can talk about something controversial. So as far as the idea of, like, the way that a son feels towards their mother, and, like, the idea that I full-heartedly believe that the person that I would like to, like, the people that I'm attracted to are similar to my mother. Because that is the only, like, basis of knowledge of what love is. Like, when you are one day old and you are being held by your mother, and you're being held by your mother for the next year, and the next 2 years, and 3 years, and you, every time you get a hug from your mother, like, that's your basis of knowledge for what love is, for what comfort is. And so if you see a girl, like a young girl your age, who kind of reminds you of your mother, you're going to feel an inherent comfortability and an inherent, like, love towards that girl. So I'm not gonna go into, like, the whole sexual aspect, because that's too much, but, like, as far as just feeling, like, that's your base knowledge for what love is your parents, and I think the people that you associate yourself with are going to inherently be similar to your parents.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and so, now, taking that back to two individuals eating.
Yeah.
So you're taking the eating out of it by saying just two individuals at any
doing anything.
So you think anything binary is inherently romantic?
It doesn't have to be binary. No.
So to you, everything is inherently romantic.
Yeah, everything is inherently sexual.
You think that everything is influenced? I think that a lot of things, for sure, I don't know if I can go as far as saying everything. I think that a lot of things are strongly influenced by sex and by the like, the dance of people who are trying to figure out what they want with the people who are there with, and what other people want with the people who they're, that they're with, and the way that they're trying to form relationships, and what they're looking for. And I think that that dance is commonly prevalent in almost any group of individuals.
But are there any individuals that you don't look at sexually?
Definitely.
Really? Oh, man, that's super surprising to me. Like,
so you it depends on what you mean. Like,
like, are there not people that you would classify as attractive or unattractive? Isn't everybody somebody you would classify as attractive or unattractive?
I feel like in a system like that, you can always categorize somebody in one of those categories. And I think that the way that society is set up is super, super race oriented. And so we rate everything. This food is good, this food is bad. This is entertaining, this is not entertaining. This person is attractive, this person is not attractive. And we put people on a scale, and we put everything on a scale in there. And I think that that is definitely a thought that passes through my mind a lot about people, about anything. Last summer, my mother was going through a set of courses for a music thanatology degree. One of the things that her teacher would have her do was try to go a week without rating anything. It might have not been a week. It might have just... It was like a certain amount of time. I can't remember what the segment was, but without putting any rating on anything. So you wouldn't say this food is good. It would just be food.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't say that person's attractive or unattractive. They just are. They are what they are, and that's all there is. And you don't need to set any extra, like, individualized ratings on them, because all of those are intrinsic. Anything that you rate something is based on you, not based on the thing itself.
But isn't your sexuality based on you, not based on anything else either? Like, even if you are rating, even if it is a rate-based society, you're rating it for some reason. Somebody is attractive because it's sexual.
Somebody
can be attractive because you think they're very pleasant to look at because X, Y, and Z, but it's sexual.
So, this is where I interject, is when you say it's sexual, I understand that, like, someone can be attractive, but just because someone's attractive doesn't mean there's some type of sexual energy kind of going on there, because I feel like that's a next level that necessarily isn't always meant with something that is romantic and or, like something about attraction. So, like, I could say you're an attractive person, but, like, I have no desire to have any sexual activities with you. So how would that mean it is a sexual, like, thing?
I think that's a really good question. I think that, well, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but
yeah.
But that you make a decision, like, consciously or unconsciously. Usually it's unconscious, even if you do have the conscious thought. But you unconsciously make a decision whether you want to have sex with somebody or not. But even
right.
That is sexual. Having to make that decision means inherently there is a default of sexuality. And you have to make that distinction for yourself. You have to make that distinction. Is that person somebody I'm going to pursue? Is that somebody who I'm going to try to have sex with or not? And that question, even if the answer is no, still means sexual.
Well, I guess for me, when I look at someone, I don't kind of break it down like, you know, like, is this someone I, like, would like to have sex with and or would rather just, you know, maintain as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my mind goes there first. I think and even once I enter a relationship, sexual things are relationship. So, like, if I see someone and they're attractive, it doesn't, like, immediately to me make it feel sexual. Just like you're saying, like, when, like, if I went out to lunch with you and neither of us are attracted to each other, how is that romantic? The same thing. And but even though we might find both of us attractive, but it's not like we are going to act on that and, like, that anything will happen sexually and or romantically. So how does it be? Isn't it just us being friends? How is it romantic
and
sexual?
I think that the real distinction might come in when you meet somebody, when you first get to know somebody. And it's like, I know you. Like, I've known you for 2 months. We've been hanging out almost every night.
Right.
We know what our relationship is. But I don't know if we always knew what our relationship was. Or at least we definitely didn't always know what our relationship was. Our relationship kind of changes every minute. And, you know, we make these decisions both consciously and unconsciously every
yeah.
minute. And so things change. But, like, when you come into it, when you first meet somebody,
yeah,
that's what I'm talking about, maybe, is that it's always inherently sexual.
Okay, but so if it's, like, that constant where there can be that change all of a sudden to it becoming sexual, it doesn't mean that throughout that period where it wasn't but had the chance to be, it's a romantic period still. It's still just a period of friendship until something more happens that you could define as romantic.
Story, like, what about a love story that starts off with the people being friends and then they end up, like, you know, developing feelings for each other and, you know, they kiss and, you know, it's like a beautiful little love story. Well, isn't that first friendship part of the love story? Isn't that part of that relationship?
It's part of
story?
It, but it's not romantic yet. It's just a friendship and it hasn't grown to be romance until
you know when the romance takes place. That's when, you know, there's a kiss, there's touching, there's some form of a higher level of affection, past a friendly hug. You know, once there's some new level of care and new level of worry for each other.
So I'm a very visual thinker, so I'm going to try to, like, explain this as best as I can. But if you have, like, a spectrum, and on one side it's, like, sexually attracted, and on the other side it's not sexually attracted. So you've got these two spectrums. And, like, let's say you're, like, running on the side of not sexually attracted. Like, this side is 0. This side is 100. Not sexually attracted, sexually attracted. This is 0. This is 100. Let's say you're running at 0. You're not sexually attracted.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a year into your friendship, you start, like, going up. You start, like, oh, my gosh, like, you're at a 1. Oh, you're at a 5. Like, oh, this person's starting to get sexually attractive. Like, you're at a 15. Well, that's okay. Maybe you weren't sexually attracted to that person a year ago, but you're still on the spectrum.
But when you meet that
the spectrum of sexuality.
But you're still, you don't know you're on the spectrum until you reach that point. So the stuff prior to is not romantic.
Even if you're not aware of it, doesn't mean that it doesn't exist.
Check. Check.
Okay.
It's it's still there. I think the essence of sexuality is still there.
In everything. Everything.
Maybe when you're 50, it's not there. I don't know.
Does that mean?
It just means, like, we're, like, young people. Like, we're interested in having sex with everything.
Okay. I just struggle to understand the whole, you know, even before there's any feeling on that level that it already is romantic. It seems like that is something you can very well distinguish once it happens, because you're like, okay, at this moment my thoughts have changed. There's something more here. I have what they call, you know, caught feelings or something like that. But prior to that, it was just a friendship. And even though it turned into something more, it doesn't mean that prior part was a romantic, like, part of your the whole thing. It might have led to that, but it doesn't mean it is romantic, that time period. That's just a time period of getting to know them. And without that, you never would have been able to become romantic. But it doesn't mean that area where you weren't romantic is romantic just because it led to being romantic.
So I'm curious what you think. What is the difference for you or for anybody in this room between a sexual relationship or a romantic relationship, we could say, and a friendship? What's the difference?
The difference? I think between in a sexual relationship and a romantic relationship, there's affectionate, you know, like kissing, there's most likely sexual activities, there's a different level of feeling towards each other, and, you know, touch, and sense, and worry. Well, in a friendship, you know, most of the time there's not going to be that sexual interaction. It's going to be more, you know, you love this person as a friend, you care about them, you share similar interests and passions, and you do things together. But it's not sexual, it's merely just a friendship that you really value. And, you know, if it reaches that next level where it is sexual, then it is sexual. But just because you're friends like that doesn't make it sexual.
Yeah, but I just think that it's interesting that the only distinction between friendship and romance is sex.
I also agree that in my life, the main difference between friendship and romance has been almost, in a way, almost solely sex. I think that there is definitely an emotion. I think sex is a shortcut to intimate relation. And so you can feel closer to somebody and more intimate with somebody through sex. But, for instance, like, my best friends, the people I've known for my whole life, I feel incredibly close to them, and I definitely hold love for them that I don't hold for the other people in my life, because it's just a different type of relationship. And, like, my past girlfriends, who I've been, who I would say that I was in love with, that's a similar feeling, except that that relationship also revolves around sexual connection as well. Except that I think that the driving emotion of wanting to spend time with somebody is the same either way.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's kind of the point I'm making, is that if the only, that kind of dormant giant of sex, like, the thing that's, like, laying dormant in you when you're a friend with somebody, could arise or doesn't have to.
Right.
If I'm with you as a friend, the giant's laying dormant. And it could, this is turning kind of into a sexual innuendo, but it could rise or it doesn't have to. And if it doesn't, then we just continue on with our relationship right. the way it was. But that doesn't mean that that sexual aspect doesn't live there.
It lives there and it could happen, but it doesn't mean our relationship in any form is sexual and or romantic.
But subconsciously, you're still mulling it over. It's still happening. You could do something
even without thinking about it. You think it's subconsciously happening?
I think at some point you could do something that was just like ridiculously sexy to me, and then like we could tackle that problem when we got to it, or not problem. We could just go for it if it happened. But it's like because it's subconscious and you're constantly mulling over it without thinking about it. Even though you're not thinking about it, doesn't mean it's not there. It could happen at any moment.
I understand that part, but I just disagree with the fact that during that period where it could be mulling over, even though I've never had a period. Well, it was some people I think about it like that, but that's for people I really have, like, you know, quote unquote, like a crush on or something like that. But like, I think about those things. But past that, I mean, I just think about it as a friendship, and I don't think about those thoughts. If I'm not thinking about those thoughts, it's just a friendship, and there is nothing romantic. As much as I love them as a friend, that's not romantic.
So is the only way that you find somebody sexually attracted, do you see that in the first time you see them? Are you sexually attracted to, like, the people that you find yourself sexually attracted to, do you know that within the instant you see them?
Not necessarily. Sometimes, you know, I don't, because I feel
so
like,
that
I feel like.
That there's a sleeping giant.
No, well, here's my thing. I feel like, basing it off of, like, when you first see them, I don't always base who I'm attracted to off how they look. You know, personality is such a large part of it. So, just to say, like, I see that person and I would have, like, a sexual, like, thing go on in my mind about that person, I think would be incorrect because that's not where my mind hops to, but some people, they're wired differently and that is where their mind's gonna go. But
maybe I'm just a horn dog, who knows?
But for me, personally, I think about just being their friend, and once I get to know them, there might be aspects of them that is extremely attractive that makes me go to that level, and we'll see. I think we're gonna take a quick break for a song here. I had something I wanted to play. Just a song that I really relate to over the years. It's really growing on me. I'll cue it up in a few seconds here.
Just keep talking for a second.
I think that an interesting thing that the analogy of a sleeping giant is an interesting analogy to me. It's also just kind of a nice phrase and definitely an innuendo as well. But I think that a lot of the time, it might not be your first thought. It might be an unconscious thought or like a passing thought, like, oh, do I think this or do I have this feeling? It's like, nah, it flies by. But I think that emotion can totally evolve over time. And with me personally, the more I get to know people, the more I find them attractive. I think that there have been a lot of times when I've met people and been like, I'm not sexually attracted to this person, and then gotten to know them better, and maybe I am. I'll change my mind. We'll see. But I think that it definitely is something that's always in the mind of individuals, and just because it's not put out of the mind into reality, quote-unquote, the mind is also reality, just because it's not realized that way doesn't mean it isn't real.
Yeah.
I find that in myself a lot of the time, I'll think that if I don't talk about what I'm thinking or if I don't act on a thought that I have, since it just lies within me and no one else knows about it, then it feels less potent, less powerful, less... It doesn't have as much of an effect on reality, although it has an effect on me and my reality. I think that a lot of the time, people separate their own thought from the reality they live in. They're like, mm-hmm. there's a single bridge between their mind and reality, which is how they interact, how they choose to act on what they're thinking, and I think that's an interesting like connection there.
Yeah, can I just say really quick before I switch to the music, because I kind of hope we put this subject down for the next speaking portion, but I think that what this has really done for me, this kind of theory for me, has just really opened me up to some of the things I've been repressing, and just realizing in these moments, like, oh, I am sexually attracted to that person. And I think that in a lot of ways it has to do with boys, and like me unconsciously repressing the fact that I do find men attractive, and just like feeling like, oh, we as humans just find other humans attractive. And I think that if the listeners who are here with us today kind of go into the next social interaction that they have and just try to be as honest with themselves about the way they feel physically about that person, can, and then kind of separating between the physical and the emotional, and not kind of lumping those two together and just saying, yes, we find people attractive physically, and yes, we find people attractive emotionally, and that's just inherently going to happen with all of the people that you encounter, and you're going to have to deal with that on an individual-to-individual basis every time. And so just that theory really kind of opened myself up, and I hope that it maybe makes some people think.
Oh, my friends, they shoulder me in my poor head of woe. They know I'm good, but I wanna be bad. Standing with the lights down low and the lovers who make love, they see me smiling, but I wanna be sad. Would you light me up? Really set me on fire and be there when I'm burning out? Would you hold my head 'neath the water tile and elbow me if I get? Streets by day, between every crack and pave, and by night, it cowers and hides. Here it comes, that awful sting, when you let someone in, you sit so bare. Would you light me up? Really set me on fire and be there when I'm burning now? Would you hold my head 'neath the water tide and elbow me if I get? Between lies and where the truth dies, everything in its own time. Would you light me up? Really set me on fire? Be there when I'm burning now. Would you hold my hand? beneath the water tap. And elbow me if I get too loud. Would you light me up? Really send me on fire? And be there when I'm burning out. Would you hold my head beneath the water tide? And elbow me if I get.
So, Daniel, what do you think is the most beautiful thing in the world?
I think that's a really good question. I think that my mind instantly goes to the sunrise. I think that the sunrise is incredible because, or maybe the sun in general, but the sunrise is like something that happens constantly, like literally every second is a sunrise somewhere, and it's probably beautiful every time. And I just think that's pretty incredible. I also think the moon is really beautiful. I think that trees swaying in the wind is really beautiful. I think art is really beautiful, like art done well, art that is interesting is beautiful. I don't know, I think a lot of things are beautiful.
I think that the complexity behind everything, and the complexity behind human connection, and the complexity behind, I think that all of that actually falls into naturally occurring patterns. I think that patterns created by nature are some of the most beautiful things that there are. Mm. Like the way a lotus blossom unfurls, or the way that gas atoms in a container will arrange themselves to be a specific space apart so they fill the container equally, or the array of stars in the sky, or the shape that waves create in sand as they lap upon a beach. I think that those naturally occurring patterns and shapes, and
I actually wrote a song about the rising sun and the rising moon, and just nature that I think is really beautiful, it's a freestyle. So basically I wrote it just on a sheet of paper, and then I made a beat, and I didn't write it in verse or anything, but I just read the piece of paper over this beat, and I just thought it was really, really beautiful. I'd love to share it with everybody.
And here it is.
May I see the moon tonight? No, you may not, for the moon is new tonight, and the night will be black, and the stars will be red and yellow, white and blue, and they will cast no light to read, only light enough to dream.
I could write all night, could I not? Have the words, I have the rest, I have the goal, I have the path. Have a force, a rope, like an umbilical cord, still leading me home, that tells me what to do. I find this book, I'm in, flustered, I'm refined, I'm apathetic, jumble words, my soul, no, probably not, but I will fill my days and my nights, unlike the son of a lawyer looking to his father, I am looking to my father. Past future, they are and always will be the others. How can
does rise, but does the sun not rise right now? Does it rise tomorrow? Yes, but can you see it tomorrow? No, you can only see it today. You can only see it today. You may ask but one more question. How about the moon? How about it? Can I see it? May I see the moon tonight? No, you may not, for the moon is new tonight, and the night will be black, and the stars will be red and yellow, white and blue, and they will cast no light to read. Only...
I really appreciated that, Daniel. I'm glad you shared that with us. I really liked the beat behind it, and I caught some of the lyrics, and I really enjoyed them. I really liked the one that that said, like, the sun is rising tonight, it's going to rise tomorrow, can you see the sun tonight? You can't see it tomorrow. And I think that is a nice phrase that pretty much says, carpe diem, like, seize the day, seize the moment. Pay attention to what's going on right now because it might never happen again, and find the beauty in what you can see right now, and don't look for the beauty in tomorrow until it is the now, yeah. And then you can find it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's kind of a basic theme that's going through most of my art in general, and just most of my ideology, and I think in a lot of people's ideology, and I think it's interesting that we all really try to be in the moment, and we all try to be accepting, and we all try to be just, and we all try to live to the like highest potential that we could possibly live to. We try to ascend to nirvana, to heaven, we try to meditate, and yet somehow we kind of all still live in discord. You know, we all still feel a little bit shitty.
I think that's because the way that my mind works, the way that I've experienced other people's minds working, although I can only ever experience my own, is that it's really easy to find yourself looking at the past or comparing events in the present to the past and seeing how they played out before, so you can then try to catch a glimpse of what your future may be like and then fret about over that and worry over that and focus on that. And I think that it's really easy to find yourself in that mindset instead of taking the path, taking the present as it is and enjoying it for all it is, because it's all there is.
Mm. Yeah, it is. And like when you're on your deathbed, that's going to be your present. So
I'm probably going to be thinking about my future while I'm on my deathbed.
Yeah, like, maybe.
Is there going to be there?
Yeah.
Is there going to be something else? Maybe. I don't know. Can I see my family?
Yeah, and you know, another thing I've been really thinking about is just, you know, if all we have is our present, you know, and when we are on our deathbeds, and you know, everybody on their deathbed says, man, I just wish I could be with my family. I wish my family was around me. And if all we have is our present, then why am I not with my family right now?
Yeah. Aren't we all on our deathbeds? It's just a little longer.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you never know. It could be really short. I could step out of this building, slip on the wet board since it's been raining all day, and bam, life is over. Where's my family?
Yeah.
Why am I here?
It's a pretty depressing way to close this out.
To think about it.
I mean, since we're speaking of, like, death, I just wanted to get your thoughts on, do you believe in reincarnation? Because I find that to be a fascinating idea, and I always envision myself being able to go through that and, you know, to be a squirrel running across the ground, eating nuts, you know?
I am right now a squirrel running across the ground, eating nuts. I am a tree right now. Like, I am you right now. I don't believe in reincarnation, I think, in the natural, like, in the normal sense, because, and my evidence for that is, as far as I know, I didn't have a life before this.
Right.
So why can I assume that I'm going to have a life after this?
Right.
But I think that the life force that occupies my molecular structure, the intangible essence that is life that science can't really speak to, is the same intangible essence that lives in a squirrel. Okay. And that when I die, that essence is going to occupy a different life force. I'm not going to have the same memories, not going to have the same personality, but it's the same life force.
Have you ever experienced, I know in my life, and this is kind of what's led me to think, you know, reincarnation might be possible. It's like I'll be in a new place, a place I've never met before, and I'll have deja vu of being in this place. And it's just like, what is that feeling? It's like there's like this, like, you know, 5-10 second period where you're just like, whoa, it's like I've lived this already, and or I've like seen this scenery before.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious if you ever experienced a moment like that.
Definitely. So when I was applying to colleges the second time, I went to Swarthmore.
Where's that?
I don't even remember. It's somewhere up here. There was like this outside amphitheater, and it was like green, beautiful grass on risers. And I stood there, and I was like, I've had a dream here. I've been here before.
Right.
And I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to go to Swarthmore. I know it. I know I'm going to go to Swarthmore. I had a dream. And look at where I am. I didn't even get into Swarthmore. So it's like I have those deja vus, and sometimes they're right and sometimes they're not. Sometimes I think that it's just our mind having fun with us.
Right, right. Maybe one day we'll know. Maybe one day we'll know. But this show is starting to reach its end. It's been a pleasure having you on today, Daniel.
It's been really, really fun being here, guys.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for talking.
Yeah. Love talking.
I think the best place to leave everybody is with the song Beautiful Blue Sky by Ott. And here is that song.
Yes!